God always works in one of three ways. When you're in that situation and you need deliverance from a problem or a crisis or a fire or whatever the situation is, it's going to be one of these three ways, because what we're talking about today is the fiery furnace. We started on it last week. We're going to close it up. How many of you understand what the fiery furnace is all about? Yeah, you've had them yourself. You've been in those situations. You've been going under the water, or you've been going through the fire or through the valley or whatever you want to call it. But you know exactly what it is that I'm talking about. Here's one of these three ways is the way that God moves in our life. Number one, sometimes God saves us from the crisis. That's from the crisis. He just helps us completely avoid the fire. No fire, no problem. He could have done that with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you're very clear on that. I mean, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, is absolutely convinced that these are rebels. Everybody is bowing down to the image of himself that's in the plains down there, except for these three. And he says, I'm going to kill you. That's all there is to it. Now, God could have just completely delivered them. Yeah, no, we're not going to do that today. And change the king's heart or anything he wanted to do. Sometimes when you're in a problem, God will do that. He'll just deliver you from the problem. Taken care of. We're done. And that's nice. That's always fun. That always makes for a great testimony, doesn't it? But he doesn't always do it that way. And a lot of times he doesn't do that. Sometimes he saves us, number two, through the crisis. Through the crisis. You go through the fiery furnace. He doesn't take away the problem. He doesn't remove the problem. He takes you through the problem. He gives you the strength, the grace to handle it. But he takes you through it. The third way, sometimes he saves us by the crises, by the problem, by the situation. What do you mean by that, Harlan? Sometimes the problem is not the problem. The problem saves us from the real problem. Your neck is killing you. You go into the hospital to see the doctor, and the doctor, because you've got this neck problem that's killing you, then discovers that you got cancer in your stomach. Oh, well, my problem really wasn't what my problem was it? No, I'm telling you, that happens all the time. You get a smaller problem that actually leads you to discover what the larger problem is that's in your life. Sometimes just God allows the problem because it's a solution that saves you from the bigger problem. Does that make sense? Oh, any one of those three ways God can move in. Let me just give you an example of this. 1 Peter chapter 1. Start with verse 6 there. It may be necessary. Sometimes pain is going to be necessary in your life. Hello. It may be necessary for you to be sad for a while because of the many trials you suffer. See, that's what I was just saying. God doesn't pull you out of every fiery trial, does he? Sometimes it's necessary for us to go through the problems. Because of the many trials you suffer, their purpose, the purpose of the trials that you're going through, is to prove that your faith is genuine. How do we really see that our faith is genuine? By the trials that we go through. Even gold, which can be destroyed, is tested by fire. In other words, purified by fire. So your faith, in the same way, in other words, your faith, which is more precious than gold, must also be tested. Your faith must be tested. Your faith must be tested so that it may endure. Then you will receive praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed. In other words, when Jesus Christ comes back, he says you're going to be rewarded for the fact that your faith was proved through the fiery trials and you were shown to be trustworthy, not because of all the good days, but because of how you made your stand in the fiery trials day. So here's the question. Why do you think God allows me to go through pain on this planet? Because this isn't heaven. Hello? In heaven, there's no sorrow, there's no sadness, there's no sickness. This isn't heaven. This is school. And for some of us, it's the school of hard knocks. But you know what you're supposed to do in school? You're supposed to learn. And do you think God might want you to be learning some things while you're here in school? If our life was incredibly easy, if we had absolutely no problems, you wouldn't learn anything. You'd be a selfish little brat is what you'd be. If you always got your own way, you know what? God's more interested in your salvation. God's more interested in you becoming and looking more like Christ than He is in anything else. And sometimes the only way we learn is through crises. Every person in this room knows people who were headed the exact opposite direction from God, and then they went through a bankruptcy, they went through a divorce, they went through a loss of a loved one, they went through whatever it is, and all of a sudden it got their attention and they cried out to God. They came to Christ. That problem actually saved them for eternity. So was the problem worth it? Yeah, it's hard to see it when you're going through it, isn't it? But long term, absolutely it was worth it. So then I stop and I look at this situation. These guys had directly challenged Nebuchadnezzar. He was claiming to be God. He said, everybody's going to worship me. I am number one. I am the best. And I deserve to be honored. You're going to bow down to me. And they said, no, we're not. Really, what put salt in the wound was when everybody else in the entire nation did. And there's these three guys just standing tall. And that just ticks him off, makes him so angry, because everybody's doing it. Verse 19. Nebuchadnezzar became so furious that his face distorted with rage. You've probably seen that in your own house. Oh, where am I at here? Yeah, I mean, I'm just guessing there, okay? So Nebuchadnezzar became so furious that his face was distorted with rage, and he commanded that the furnace, this part here is just hilarious to me, be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Now, why does he need to do that? I mean, humans are going to fry at whatever the temperature of fire is anyhow. Does it really need to be 7 times hotter than what's already going to cook them? Now, in my mind, that's what you call overkill. Oh, I had to do. Are you with me, Joe? You're just, okay, there you go. You don't need the furnace to be 7 times hotter, do you? Of course not. Just a normal good old fire is going to kill you. Throw them in the fire and they're going to die. So why are you doing this? Why in the world is he making it 7 times hotter? I think it's because Nebuchadnezzar is actually secretly worried that maybe these Hebrew guys, God maybe could deliver them. So let's just make sure. Let's just make really sure. Turn up the heat. There is nobody that's going to be able to deliver you from this. Wow. What arrogance. I just about missed a teachable moment there. When somebody you know reacts against you like Nebuchadnezzar does right here, when somebody you know overreacts against your faith, they come unglued when they hear that you're a Christian, and all of a sudden the things they do against you is so extreme. Take this to the bank. The more extreme their response is against you as a Christian, the more insecure they are. The more insecure a person is, the more over the top they become, the more they turn up the heat against you. People who are secure in what they believe are not insecure about what you believe. Does that make sense? Are you hearing me? I mean, I know what I believe. So I'm not going to get blown away when I talk to an atheist or an agnostic or somebody that believes something different than what I believe. I just engage them. They're not threatening me. It doesn't bother me. Why? I'm secure in what I believe. Absolutely. Now, when people have these inside doubts, like Nebuchadnezzar did, and they're afraid what God might do, well, look at here, Daniel chapter 3. Start with verse 20 there. When the king ordered some of his strongest soldiers to bind their hands and feet with rope, I mean, really, is that necessary? You're in the heartland of Babylon. Where are these guys going to hide? They're completely surrounded by soldiers. Oh, yeah, and bind their hands and feet with rope. That's a sign of an insecure man right there for sure. Ridiculous. Throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied him up and they threw him into the furnace, fully closed. But because the king, in his anger, had demanded such a hot fire, remember, turn it up seven times hotter, the flames leapt out and killed the soldiers. I always felt sorry for the soldiers. Leapt out and killed the soldiers as they threw the three men in. Can you see King Nebuchadnezzar? There goes the soldier. Whoops. Yep. But securely tied up, they, that's these three men, fell down into the blazing flames of the furnace. Six things happen next that I want you to own. When the heat is on in your life, when you're just feeling like everything's coming at you, and you will go through these days, mark my words, when you are under enormous amounts of pressure, what happens when I trust God in the fire? Every person in this room needs this, these six things right there. If you feel like you're going through hell right now, then this is God's timing right now. I'm telling you, you're here on purpose. It's not a mistake. Pay attention to this. Write this down. When I'm going through the fire, number one, God will walk with me through the fire, or through the fire with me. Well, that's a relief right there, isn't it? It is to me. You're not going to be alone. I'm not going to be alone. In the midst of the fire, it's not, God, where are you? It's, thank God you're with me. He didn't say that he'd always deliver you from the fire, did he? But over and over and over and over, and you get the idea, over again, God promises that no matter what it is that you are going through, guess what? He says, I will be with you. Daniel chapter 3, start with verse 24. This is where they throw him into the fiery furnace. Look what happens. Suddenly Nebuchadnezzar, remember, this is the emperor of the biggest nation in the known world at that time. Nebuchadnezzar jumps up in amazement and he asks his advisors, didn't we tie up three men and throw him into the furnace? Yes, we did, said his advisors. Well, look now, he shouts. You can see seven men now in the fiery furnace, walking around, unbound. Walking around freely in the fire, unharmed. Walking around. Huh. And the fourth man is like that. A son of God's. Three guys tied up. And there's this fourth. Now all of a sudden, none of them are tied up. They're all just walking through the fire. And the fourth one doesn't look like a normal human being. He looks divine. He wasn't a son of the gods. It was the Son of God. Jesus Christ was walking through the fire with them. And he's promised to walk through the fire with you too. He steps right up to you and he says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. He looks at you and says, and I am with you always. Just before Jesus goes back to heaven, some of the final words that he speaks in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, I will always be with you to the very end of the age. I will always be with you. Remember the verse that we talked about last week in Isaiah? It fits so well here again. Chapter 43, start with verse 2. When you go through the deep waters and great trouble, say it. I will be. That's God's presence we're talking about, friends. He says, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you won't drown. When you walk through the fires of oppression, you'll not be burned up. The flame, say it, will not consume you, for I am the Lord. Notice what he says. He doesn't say when, or he does say when. He doesn't say if. Some of you need to get that settled. When you go through the fire, it's a part of life. In the world, you will have tribulation. In the world, you're going to face persecution. When you go through the fire, when you go through the storms, when you go through the floods. You can count on this, friends. I hate to tell you, but this is one of them kind of backward promises. But it absolutely is. In eternity, it'll be a blessing. But right now, it's very, very painful. You're going to go through the fire many, many times in your life. And you're best if you don't say, why? What for? Poor me. Oh, my. Come on, put on your big boy pants and whatever. Save myself on that one. I mean, you just got to count on this. But you also need to know what to do when the heat is on. These six things. Number one, you're going to trust him. And you're going to trust the fact that he's walking through the fire with you. You're going to look back and see the one set of footprints, and you're going to know those are his, not yours. He's carrying you. You just got to know that you know that you know that God is love. And even so, this hurts like crazy. He's holding you. He's with you. He's going to take care of you. If you go into your old baby crying, complaining, wimping out stuff, you're playing right into the devil's hands. And you're going to go down. You got to stand up and be strong. Have not I commanded you, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Believe in God. Trust in God. Declare that God is with you. Don't let me get off on this thing. Number two, the second benefit. When you have faith in God, when you're in the furnace. Number two, God will burn off everything tying me down. Woo-hoo! God will burn off everything that's tying me down. I love that. In this fire, they didn't get burned. Their clothes didn't get singed. They didn't even smell like fire. The only thing that got burned off them was the man-made ropes that they'd been tied up with. I got a question for you. What has got you tied up today? What has got you all bound up today? What is holding you back today? What is limiting you from being all that God wants you to be? What have you accepted in your life that's actually a lie from the pit of hell, and you've just called it your natural limitation, and there's nothing you're ever going to be able to do it? Friend, God wants to burn that off of you in Jesus' name. He'll take you through the fire just to set you free from that stuff. And I'm telling you, according to God's word, you can go through the fire and you'll come out unsinged, untouched, unburnt. But those things will be burnt off of you. They will be. The stuff that's tying you down right now, the stuff that is holding you back right now, the limitations in your life, the pain never leaves you where it finds you. When you're going through life and the pain is over here and you're going through this excruciating pain, when it's all said and done, you're not over here anymore. When you're going through pain in life, when you're through with that pain, God has moved you all the way over here. When you go through the pain of life, you start off in the pain, immature. But when God's done with you through the pain, you're now far more mature than you ever were before. Over here, you didn't trust God at all. But through the pain, now you've come to a place where you say, yet he slay me, yet will I trust him. What in the world happened to you? Over here, you were full of doubt. Has God said, where are you at? Where, 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 where? And then God gets you through the fiery furnace and you come over to this side over here and you're full of confidence. If God be for me, who can successfully stand against me? They'll come against me one way and flee against me 7 ways or 11 ways or 27 ways. God burns that stuff right off you. The stuff that's been holding you back. He wants to set you free. Let me tell you about something about hot fire. Hot fire will cauterize your wounds. Now, I've seen it in movies. But I know it's true. You know, when the guy gets shot and he's bleeding and the next thing you know, they get a red hot poker out of the fire and they stop the bleeding. They cauterize the wound. The guy would have bled to death, but the fire stopped the bleeding. Yeah, it's true. I understand. Haven't seen it. The old days, they would actually take when you were bleeding really bad and they couldn't stop it, they'd actually put gunpowder on the wound, light it on fire. I guess it hurt like whatever. Fill in the blank. And it stopped the bleeding. Wow. Sometimes it takes some fire to stop your bleeding. And if God didn't love you so much, you'd just bleed out. But he does. So God cauterizes it. He burns it off. He stops it. Now the Bible has a name for what I'm talking about. It's called a refining fire. That's what it's called in biblical terms, a refining fire. Look at Isaiah chapter 48. Start with verse 10. I have refined you, but not in the way silver is refined. Okay, so how do you refine us, Lord? Somebody say it out loud. In the furnace of suffering. This is God's word, friend. This isn't my opinion. I don't think anybody in this room is ever going to go literally through a fiery furnace. Nope. But you're going to go through the furnace of suffering. And I absolutely guarantee it. You're going to go through it many, many, many times. And God is refining you through the fire. Heat it up. Get rid of the impurities. Put it at a high temperature. The impurities just begin to raise up to the top and they just slough them off. And the heat keeps getting hotter. They just keep sloughing off the impurities until they've got 100% pure gold and silver. You know, you talk to a goldsmith or silversmith, and you know how they know that it's pure? Do you know how they know when they put enough heat to the gold or the silver? When they look in it and they see their own reflection coming back. Oh, yeah. God knows when you've been purified by the fire, when through the fire, instead of cussing and getting all mad and angry at everybody else, in the midst of the fire, people look at you and they see the reflection of Jesus. They hear the words of Jesus coming out of your mouth. You just look more like him. You sound more like him. You're more Christ-like. You're more of a godly person. It's the fire that burns that stuff, those impurities, right out of your life. I don't expect you to say, bring it on! You don't have to. The world we live in brings it on, friends. Number five. Or where am I at? Number three. Oh, and by the way, this is a big one right here. Oh, yeah. If I trust God when the heat is on, God will give me a new freedom. God will give me a new freedom. God will give you a new liberty. God will give you a new peace. You're not going to be so bound up anymore. The Bible is full of this example right here. The Bible is full of these testimonies. When See, the people all around us, and you all know this, but they're busy trying to ensnare you. They're trying to entrap you. They ultimately want to enslave you to the world's system and to the world's way of thinking. And God wants to use these very problems that they're trying to hold you down and to make you a prisoner of the world's system. God wants to use that very thing to liberate you from what they're trying to tie you up with. To set you free. Free from their opinions, free from the expectations of other people, just to get set free from a lot of junk, a lot of things that's just holding you back, that is tying you down. A great example of this is Psalms chapter 66, verse 12. Look at this. You let captors set foot on our neck. So obviously I had to go, little background right here. What this verse is talking about is actually talking about when the Jews were made slaves in Egypt. God, you allowed us to become slaves, and the captors set their foot on our neck. Now, read it out loud with me. Then we went through fire and water, and you let us out to freedom. Circle that word freedom right there. Did I mention to you that God wants you to be free? And the way you get free is you do the right thing when you're in the midst of the fire. You know the truth and the, say it with me, truth will set you free. And I'm the first one to tell you that times often comes at a very high price with a lot of heat. You're not talking to somebody that's never been through the fire. I stand before you as a person who's been through a lot of fires. And every time, sometimes in the midst of the fire, sometimes looking back at the fire, there's that man right there with me, strengthening me, helping me. You know the greatest result, I think, of the fires for me? I've been pondering this and thinking about this is I'm almost fearless now. I put down I was fearless, but then I started thinking, well, am I really fearless? And then I realized, well, if you're thinking you're really fearless, you're not totally fearless, because you already asked yourself if you're really fearless. So, I mean, I had to say I'm almost fearless. I'll tell you what, I'm not as much afraid as I used to be. Not even, absolutely not even close. I'm not afraid of people's opinions anymore. I'm not afraid of people's approval or disapproval or anything. Some of you, somebody looks at you sideways and you wilt. Shame on you. You can't stand the thought of somebody at school or at work where you're at saying, oh, and they're a Christian. Look at little Mr. Goody Two Shoes over there saying stuff behind your back, laughing at you, talking to others, belittling you in front of other people. And it's just killing you because you just want everybody to love you. You don't need everybody to love you. You don't need people's approval to be happy. You got to say that one out loud. That was a good one right there. Say, I don't need people's approval to be happy. There are way too many Christians who would rather deny the Lord Jesus Christ so they can be popular with the people than do the right thing. I'm sorry to say that. And you may have to go through the fire to get that burned out of you. I've decided I'm going to live for an audience of one. That's it. I've just decided if God likes me and I like me, what's wrong with you? Yeah. Thanks, DJ. I mean, you've obviously got a problem. That brings so much freedom. That brings so much liberty. Some of you right now, in Jesus' name, you need to get set free. You need to get weaned off of this addiction to the approval of other people. You do, in Jesus' name. Before you have to go through a fire that burns it out of you, you can deal with it right now. Matter of fact, let's just, since we're talking about it, let's just do it, shall we? You're just hearing you say, Pastor, I'm struggling with an approval addiction. I'm always worried about what other people think. I just want you to raise your hand right now. Well, that'll help, doesn't it? There you go. Put your hand right up in the air. Don't be afraid. I'm not asking you to lie. Just put your hand up in the air if it's true. I want you to keep your hand up there. Jesus. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you, Jesus. You see these hands right now. They're facing their fears. They're going the opposite direction. They're raising their hands. And it's through that humility that you're burning that right out of them, that impurity right out of them right now. By the power of your Holy Spirit right now, you see these hands, God. These are people that are bold enough, strong enough, well, maybe weak in that area, but they're facing their fears. And I pray that you'd honor that. And I declare freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Thank you for a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit in their life that brings boldness. Thank you. I call you forth as Peters. Peters who 1 minute were denying Christ and afraid of what people thought. The next minute, as they were filled afresh with the Holy Spirit, they were standing up in front of the crowds and they were speaking. This Jesus Christ whom you crucified, on and on and on. Thank you, God, for that transformation process right now in Jesus' name. Just tell the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you. Thank the Lord for helping you. Just right now, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Can I just declare to you, God wants to give you a new freedom. Oh, He wants to untie. He wants to burn off those ropes that have been holding you down. And if you trust God when the heat is on, number 4, God will make sure that I come out unburned. He'll make sure that you come out unburned. This is what happened in the story. Look at verse 26 right here. Then, that then is after they were thrown into the fire, Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Where did that come from? What is that anyhow? I mean, we got a pagan king that got converted right there in front of God and everybody, right in front of everybody. Obviously, their God is the real deal here. My God is a fake God. My God is a phony God. I mean, is that awesome or what? Servants of the Most High God. I mean, he is flat out saying this in front of everybody in the entire kingdom. Come out at once. He's not saying, come out at once. He's saying like, come on down. That's exactly how he's got it going right there. So the three men stepped out of the fire. I think it was real wisdom on Nebuchadnezzar's part that he didn't invite the fourth person out. I'm just saying. I think he's afraid of the guy. I mean, he knows Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They've been his governors for 15 years. He knows them very, very well. He doesn't want to have to face the fourth man face to face. Nope. So he's got three guys come out in verse 27. Then the princes and the prefects and the governors and the advisors. These are all their co-workers. These guys all know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They crowded around him. They saw the fire not even touch them. Not a hair on their head was singed. Their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell the smoke. How did that happen? I can barbecue hamburgers and I smell like smoke. Oh, this is amazing. They didn't even smell like smoke. Nothing touched them there. You know what the title of this message, this series is, everybody? Thriving. No matter what. Do you get it? These guys were on God's side and God is on their side. And they come through the fiery furnace absolutely unharmed. There's a new standard for Christians. It's actually getting back to the old standard. Take a stand. Stand up. It doesn't mean it's all going to be honey and roses, but in the midst of it all, God is doing some powerful things in our lives. Number 5. If I show faith in God, well, I'm in the middle of the furnace. Here it is. It'll bring unbelievers to God. It'll bring unbelievers to God. This is a testimony. This is a witness. This shows how much you trust God. When you're in the middle of the pain, when you're under pressure, when the heat is on in your life, that's when you have the opportunity, maybe the most powerful witness, the most powerful testimony ever, right there. When you are faithful to God when things are not going right, when you trust God in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your pressure, in the midst of the fire. You don't think people are looking and saying, well, how are they doing that? How are they handling that? I mean, it's a tremendous witness. It's a wonderful testimony to how God is giving you strength in the middle of what you're going through. These guys, they really impressed the most powerful emperor in the entire known world at that time. Look what happens here in verse 28, chapter 3. Then the king said, "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel to rescue his servants." He didn't know it was Jesus. You know, he sent the angels to rescue his servants. They trusted in him. Whoa, time out. Those four words right there just apprehended my soul. They trusted in him. Babe, when I die, I want those four words to be on my tombstone. Harlan trusted in Jesus. Oh yeah, I'm getting cremated, so forget that. But anyway, you get the idea, right? No, actually, I want to be buried. She's going to cremate me, though. Yeah, I just know that's how it's going to be. Really, if it's perfect, I'm going to die on Tuesday because that's when the garbage man comes. But that's a whole nother story, okay? That's a whole nother story. Come back. Come back to me. I want to be able to have that put on your tombstone. You trusted in Jesus Christ. I don't know if there's any greater epitaph. I sat there and thought and thought and thought, is there any greater epitaph in all of your life than the fact that you trusted in Jesus? I mean, is there any higher compliment anybody could ever pay you? He was a great husband. He was a great father. He was a great worker. He was a wonderful provider. Really? They're either one place or the other, and that stuff doesn't matter anymore. Did they trust in Jesus? That's really what matters here. Here they are coming through this fire completely unharmed. Nebuchadnezzar says, man, these people, they defied my command. I'm the most powerful guy in the world. I am leading the biggest empire of the known world at the day, and they're willing to die rather than to obey me, rather than worship any other god except for their God. Really? Which I got to ask the question. What are you willing to die for? I mean, until you figure out what you're willing to die for, who you're willing to die for, you're really never going to live. You're always going to be double-minded. You're always going to be insecure. What are you willing to die for? If you don't know what you're willing to die for, you're wasting your life. You're wasting your years. You can't actually really live. All you're doing is existing because you've never really sat down and put it on an action item question right there on the bottom of your notes. What am I willing to die for? Have you figured that out yet? There are some things in life that's worth dying for. What was the movie? Hacksaw Ridge. I mean, good grief. But let's put it into more important eternal terms and think about Jesus Christ. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 10, verse 10. I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. The key to life is knowing what you're worth dying, what you will die for. I was thinking about that when Jerry and I, we were buried in the heart of the Amazon jungle in Peru with, we were the only two Americans in this little cadre of maybe five or six people, one canoe's worth. I remember in Bogota, Colombia, where we were at, the missionary said, don't do it. I've been here 23 years and I've never done anything like that. Don't do it. The Holy Spirit said, he who seeks to gain his life will lose it, but he who loses it for my sake will gain it. I told you to go. And we flew down into the hearts of the jungle, and I don't have time to even get into the whole story. And 6 hours up into Peru to this Indian village, God did miraculous signs. They send out runners to 80 different villages around them to be able to come in and hear these people who did the miracles. You're not going to live until you're willing to die. You're never going to really be all that God has intended for you to be until you handle this fear of death thing and this fear of what other people are going to think of you. Let me break it down for you just in botanical terms. Not that you even know what that means. Of course you do. Sorry. But there's lots of seeds out there, both trees and plants, that will not come to life. They will not germinate until they go through a forest fire. Let me just give you a couple of examples. There's the jack pine. It's all over the New England states. And the jack pine, the pine cone, is just completely loaded with resin, and the seed is inside of it. There is so much resin in a jack pine cone that that seed can never get liberated. When the forest fire comes through, it melts the resin, the seed drops out, and at the exact time when the forest is being birthed, a new life, a new tree is coming to life. It's self-planting. It's the work of the Lord. Talk about the circle of life. It's amazing. It's God. But even more powerful than that, you got right here in Northern California, we've got our famous redwood trees. That's right. They are the absolute largest living organism on planet Earth, over 400 feet tall. They can live for 2,000 years. And yet the redwood tree has the little seed inside of the cone. And when the fire comes, it opens it up. The seed is released so it can germinate. So another redwood tree begins to grow from the fire. From the fire. Some of the greatest things that will ever happen in your life are going to come out of the fires in your life. And I don't know any other way to say it. I mean, new life will spring out of the fires in your life. Don't sit there and bellyache and complain and moan and groan. Become expectant. If you're going through it right now, my mom used to can stuff in her pressure cooker. She ruined the whole house when she had cans. She had jars all over everything, fruit and jars and everything else. But I tell you what, we grew up in the Bitterroot Valley of Montana, and it seemed like winter was like 11 months long. And I love to run down into the cellar and get a jar of peaches or anything, because she threw the pressure cooker. These things were preserved and they were absolutely delicious. Are you any different? Count it all joy when you encounter various trials and tribulations, knowing that the perfection, knowing that your faith is perfected. James chapter 1, go read it yourself. That just kind of spurted out there. Verse 29, Nebuchadnezzar says, "Therefore, I make this decree." This guy is just full of decrees, isn't he? I mean, he had that one decree, everybody bow down and worship me. Now all of a sudden he comes up with another decree. You know, everybody down, bow down and worship these guys and their God. Anyone who says anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be put to death and their house will be destroyed. He was still a dictator, right? I mean, he hadn't lost any of his dictator qualities. There he is, still threatening. You know, capital punishment to anybody that... Yeah. Can I just say, you know what? You really do have the right to believe whatever it is you want to believe. You really do. And I want to be the very first one to tell you, go ahead and believe whatever you want to believe. I don't believe you can legislate Christianity. I don't believe you're going to pass a law that says, okay, by law, we're all Christians now. Nah, didn't work in Constantine day, and it won't work in our day either. It's a personal decision for you to say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're not going to sit down here by the king and say, you have to do this. But you can't deny what he saw here. He just realized, man, you cannot diss these guys' God. Man, he's the real deal. I saw it myself. And because I saw it myself, I'm not going to allow anybody to badmouth the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, okay, so he's not in a democratic United States of America. He's trying to do the best he can do there, okay? He says there's no other God who can save anyone like this. I love that. Here I am 2,500 years later and I still say there's no God that can do the same exact thing that he's saying, right? Nobody can do that. It's still as true today as it ever was. There's no God who can save you except the real God. I have trouble getting through this. You can see that. Because I just look at that and I think, who are you looking to save you? Who are you looking to be your rescuer? Who are you looking to be your deliverer? You know what I see a lot of? I see a lot of people who are trying to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. A lot of people think they're their own savior. They're their own deliverer. They're going to fight and they're going to scratch and they're going to claw. And if it's going to be, it's up to me. Really? You know, how's that working for you? You're going to deliver yourself out of the fiery furnace? Out of the deep waters? You're really just trying to save yourself? I'm telling you, it's not going to work. Maybe you look to the government to save you. Don't even make me go there. Maybe it's popular culture. You look like, sound like, walk like, talk like, everybody around you. You think they're going to save you? Look what he says here. There is no other God that will save you. Excuse me. I think that's why we have Christmas. You say, I don't get it. We needed a Savior. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. For unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You think if you didn't need a Savior, God would have sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for your sins if you didn't need that? There's no other way you are going to get to heaven without, if it's not for Jesus Christ and Him dying on the cross for you. There is no other living God, everybody. There's nobody that's going to bail you out except for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nobody that's going to rescue you. You can't rescue yourself. It is not going to happen. You need a Savior. And that's all he's saying. There's no God that can save you. And he's right. Look at verse 30. Then the king promoted. You know, I wish I'd have kept track of those. I was thinking about those and I went back and looked at it. There's six times in the book of Daniel where these guys are getting promoted. They're getting major promotions in a lifetime, but guess what? It's after testings. Major testings, they stand up for God and they get promoted. Major testing, they stand up for God and they get promoted. Major testing, they stand up for God and they get promoted. Finally, one more thing and I'll hit on it quickly. Number six, God will reward my faith in heaven. God will reward my faith in heaven. You know, there's going to be rewards that are given out in heaven, right? And the rewards are based upon how much you trusted God. This has got nothing to do with your salvation. Hello, everybody. I'm not talking about your salvation right here. I'm talking about you are now in heaven. The Bible says that every single one of us as Christians are builders and we are architects. You say, what are you talking about? You're builders and architects of your life. You are designing, you are building your life. The Bible says God's given you permission to do two things. Number one, you get to choose what kind of foundation you're going to build your life on. And number two, you get to choose the building materials that you're going to build on that foundation with. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, we won't go there yet, but it says you can build on stuff that will not burn up, like strong rock and precious jewels. Or you can build with stuff that will burn up, like wood, hay, and straw. But either way, you're going through the fire. Do you get that point? Yeah. Either way, you're going through the fire right there. So he's begging you, please, choose wise materials for your foundation. Choose wise building materials that you're going to build on that foundation. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The promise is that everything we do is going to be tested. Okay? I'm sorry to tell you that, but it's true. Everything you do is going to be tested. 1 Corinthians 3, start with verse 10. Each one of us must be careful how we build. Now he's talking about our lives right here. Because Christ is the only solid foundation. So don't be building on popular opinion. Don't be building on the ridiculous stuff the world values. Build on Christ, the only strong foundation. Whatever we build on, that foundation will be tested by fire. You might want to circle that. Some of you didn't realize that God was the guy that would test by fire. It's coming. You're going to go through the furnace. You're going to be tested by fire. I mean, here's the test right here. If what we build in our lives is left standing from the fire, we will be rewarded. Oh, there's going to be rewards in heaven. You see that right there? There's going to be rewards in heaven, everybody. But if what we build is burned up by the fire, say it with me, we will lose our reward. Yet we'll be saved, because we're not talking about salvation here. It's like someone escaping the flames. So you've got your salvation, but you've lost your rewards. Boy, the Bible makes this very, very clear. Here I am standing up here as your pastor, as your spiritual coach, as somebody who desperately wants to help you, who loves you like crazy and prays for you. I want you to have incredibly great rewards when you get to heaven. I do, I do, I do. How do you get those rewards? By trusting in God when you're going through the fire. By living according to the Word of God. By living by faith in Him. By caring more about what God says than what everybody else is saying around you. God is watching you, and He wants to see, are you going to listen to Him? Or are you going to listen to the people around you? As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. It's your choice. Whose foundation are you building on? What foundation? What's your building materials? Would you bow your head with me, please? With your head bowed, I just got a question for you. What area of your life are you feeling the heat in today? I mean, it would be a shame to go through this message and not ask this question. What area of your life are you feeling the heat in today? For those of you that are mentally stuttering, is it financial pressure? Job pressure? Sexual pressure? Peer pressure? Marriage pressure? Family pressure? The pressure to conform to what everybody else is doing? The pressure to worship the wrong images of our culture? Where, what part of your life are you feeling the heat in right now? I'm just challenging you to pass the same test these three guys did. So to do that, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer in your mind, in your heart. I'm not going to ask you to pray it out loud. But I want you just to say, Dear Lord Jesus, You know the problems that I'm facing right now. You know the fire that I'm going through. And today I just want to make this declaration. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. God, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust You to do these six things in my life. I'm going to ask You, walk through the fire with me. Give me the knowing that I know in my knower that You're right there with me, that I'm not alone. The days that I'm going through right now, the days in the future, help me to know I'm not alone. God, I'm expecting You. I'm asking You, please burn up those things that are trying to tie me down, that are holding me back. Burn them off, Lord. For some of you, it's going to be memories. They're haunting you. You're holding on to the wrong memories. Misconceptions. But I thought, well, what does God's Word say? Get in the Word. False beliefs. Our world is full of false beliefs. Dead wrong. Burn them off, Lord. Just say, burn them off, Lord. Burn them off. Maybe relationships you're in that are wrong. The wrong relationships. Soul ties that need to be broken in Jesus' name. Whatever it is. Maybe it's a habit that's been haranguing you and holding you down. Say, burn it off, God. Burn it off. God, I'm asking You, please give me a new freedom in Jesus' name. I don't want to be manipulated. I don't want to be manipulated by other people or my need for acceptance or approval of other people. I want to be fearless. I want to be willing to stand up for You. Thank You, God, that You promised. You promised I'm going to come out of this fiery furnace and I'm going to be unharmed. And I'm going to be different. And I'm asking You, Lord, use this pain. Use these problems. The stuff I'm going through right now. not only to make me a better, stronger person, but to bring unbelievers to you. They don't need to hear me cussing and crying and all ungodly. When the heat is on, what comes out of me brings glory to you. Give me faith, God. Give me a faith that other people actually want to imitate. They want to be like the Jesus in me. Help them see me trusting you when everything just doesn't make sense. But I want to trust you anyhow. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust your promises. I'm going to trust that I'm going to be rewarded in heaven for every time I chose to trust you, even when I didn't understand it. Even when it didn't make sense to me. Even when it's completely unpopular. If you prayed that prayer in your heart, you meant it. I want you to raise your hand right where you're at. Say, that's me. Yeah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Do that work in us. Do that work in us, God. Do that work in us. Seal it to us. Seal it to our hearts, God. Write down some things under your action item right there, friends. Walk out of here with just a boatload of action items. Maybe there's some of you here, maybe this is the first time or the 5,000th time that you've just said to Jesus Christ, I surrender my life to you. But boy, you need to come back to Christ. You've walked away from Christ. You're trying to do it on your own. You believe in a God, but you don't have a walking relationship with the God. And you need to surrender your life to him. Surrender. Stick your hands up in the air, jump in the back seat of the car, let him have the driver's seat and the keys. Say, be the CEO of my life. Be the Lord of my life. Be in charge of my life. I want your plans for my life, not my own. His plans are so much better than yours. Just say it. Forgive me of my sins. I'm just asking you to accept me into your family. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to raise your hand. Today's your day. This is your time. Yeah, good for you. Good for you. Good for you. Good for you. You can lower it back down again. Listen, we have a yes table back there. You say, well, I've done it before. Well, you know what? Today's the day. God says, I make all things new. You go back to that yes table. You get yourself a Bible. You get yourself some reading materials that'll help you to find out it is. You meet Natalie. You meet Anthony. You plan on going Tuesday up here to Denny's at 6:30 and meeting with them and just talking about these things of Christ. Things you don't even know about. All of a sudden, they're there just to talk with you, to be your friend. We're here to help you. Put it down on your action items. Today, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Today I made that rededication. Lord, memorialize it. Write it down. Don't be ashamed. Would you just raise your hands up? Would everybody just everybody here just raise your hands up like this? Put them together like you're about ready to receive something because I'm getting ready to pour something out on you. In the holy, mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I just bless you. I bless you with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I bless you with a hunger and thirst for God's word. I bless you with being the head and not the tail. I bless you with physical healing. I bless you with the wisdom that you need. I bless you even on this Sunday morning as you put God first. You got up and said, I'm not going to do that, or the other thing. I'm going to go to the house of the Lord, and I'm going to praise and worship God. I bless you for that. You put God first, and he blesses you. Bless these people, Father, according to your word, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, I receive that. Amen. 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 We're going to take up our tithes and offerings. We have a scripture verse for that. You come this morning prepared. Listen, put your money where your mouth is. Yeah, that's what you do. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's at. That's where it's really at. So I'm going to challenge you to go ahead and just do that right now. Right now, you just prepare your check or whatever it is. We're still going by the name Crossroads Community Church. You still make your checks out to Crossroads Community Church. And that's what it goes to. We are working. 180 is working. I got to tell you, That team is awesome. The 180 team, name change team, they are meeting every week. There is so much involved in that. March 26th, the day to put down, we're going to have a huge celebration in the church. Lots of wonderful things are going to be happening with that. And if you're wanting to help with that, maybe you've got some construction skills, maybe you've got some wiring skills, maybe you've got some whatever kinds of skills, we can use everybody on deck in the next few weeks as signs come off and as we try to repair whatever dry rot we'd find where the sign is at so we can put on a new one and all the other items that are happening there. But it's happening. It is happening, and we're going to have a huge celebration. And as we kick that off and have our in-house celebration, which I'm so excited about, then we'll move right into carrying our new theme into Easter and telling the whole world that Jesus changes everything. He can do a 180 in your life, and he wants to. He can turn your life around, and he will. Ask us. He has. Right? Amen. So the scripture verse is, but if what we built it, okay, let's go to this one. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, say it with me, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Again, Jesus, bless these people. Ushers, come forward. Thank you, Lord, for each and every person here. Bless them in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, we got a song to go out of here on.